I'm Jill Dittmeyer, and this is Curious Mix. Listen in as we meet the people and explore the places and programs celebrating the arts and culture in our communities. Keep your ears open for these sounds and the stories behind them. The Long Sharp Gallery in the Conrad Hotel in downtown Indianapolis showcases the work of both local and international artists, and many of them have ties to the state. That's the case for sculptor Gino Miles. His studio is in Santa Fe, New Mexico, but his work is global, including private collections in South America and corporate offices like the Disney Building in L.A. Gino also has some permanent pieces in Indiana, at the Idle Jorg, the Evansville Museum of Arts, and the Performance Marketing Group building in Fishers. I spent several hours at the gallery with Gino to learn more about his career and to see the pieces that he brought for his solo show. Oh, and keep your ears open for the music as well.
My name is Gino Miles, and I actually do not use my last name very much. I sign everything on my sculptures as Gino. You know, Gino became my nickname basically because I had a dear friend who was Italian, and he shortened my name from Gene to Gino, and I became known as Gino making my art, and so that's how I sign it. I was born in a very, very small farming, well, I guess we'll say town, of less than 100 people on the western slope of Colorado called Loma, Colorado. And I grew up in a very rural environment. When I went away to college, of course, I did not even know who Picasso was. So my life has been actually kind of shocking that I became a sculptor. It was basically due to my friend Paolo. I had my notice to apply show up for my physical to go to Vietnam. And he said, no, we're not going to do that. And him and his wife bought me a ticket to Florence, Italy. And so I went from a very small farm community, not knowing who Picasso was, to being enrolled at the Academy of the Belle Arte in Florence, Italy. And, of course, they were about to kick me out because I was really bad at everything. And the instructor that week brought in a pile of clay and a model. And for some unknown reason, I could sculpt. And it was natural. It was not, I didn't have to learn how to do it, you know. And then I spent the next 40-some years actually learning how to do it well.
Gino stayed in Italy after graduation, where he worked for various sculptors and opened the Ital Art School.
It's still going on. It was basically, out of the 70s, it was a comparative art school. One of the arts was cooking. One of maybe we'd have music. Maybe we'd have art history. Sculpture was one of them since I was there, and painting. And sometimes it was humanities. Sometimes it was, you know, but basically we did a lot of hands-on touring. If we wanted to talk about the Middle Ages, we went to the Middle Ages, a cathedral, or we went to an Etruscan tomb. You know, if we wanted to study, or we go to a Roman Greek temple. So we got a huge experience in going all through Italy and Greece.
That exposure to history and nature continues to be an important part of his work, as is his love of abstract. Even though when he moved back to the United States, his first major piece of sculpture used his figurative skills.
In Santa Fe, I started doing, I worked for a foundry doing enlargements. You know, nowadays everybody does those digitally. You take a picture and you digitally can print it, or you can digitally make a copy of someone, even a person or whatever. back in the 70s and 80s, that had to be done by hand. And I was actually very fast and very good at modeling in clay. So I worked for I worked for Alan Hauser, who was one of the most famous Native American sculptors. He has pieces in front of the UN. I worked for him. I worked for Glenna Goodacre, who did, she did the Vietnam Memorial of the Nurses. It's in Washington, D.C., of course. At a certain point, I was able to branch out and make one of my own monuments.
That was The Grape Crusher, a sculpture of a barefooted vineyard worker using barrel and body to crush wine grapes. It sits just outside of Napa, California.
The Grape Crusher was 18 feet tall without the base. It was, at the time, the biggest figure ever cast in America. But whenever you do a bronze casting, you have people that are pouring the metal, you have people who are welding the metal, the patina, making the base, the mold. And I was involved with all aspects of it, but sculpture itself is a thing that you need a team of people working on. And at a certain point, my figures started, I started deassembling them. I would model, then I'd break pieces off, and then I'd add pieces on. So it slowly became that the figurative pieces became more abstract.
And that form is a knot. Sometimes horizontal, but most often vertical. A shape inspired by a flower.
At my gallery in Santa Fe, I had morning glories growing up a fence. And I saw a morning glory tying itself into a knot. And it inspired me to make the first knot. And the first knot I made was, it was more geometrical. It was kind of stiff. And it was painted, I powder coated it. It was made out of steel. And, of course, steel rust. So I powder coated it yellow. I modeled some, cast some in bronze. And then I had somebody approach me. They wanted a bigger one. And, at that point, I fell in love with these curvilinear designs. I think a lot of them look like they're very natural, like they grew that way.
Another pair of sculptures in the show are based on natural objects and have an Indiana connection of sorts. His daughter earned her engineering degree from Purdue University, and when she graduated, the family took a trip to Greece.
When we were in Greece, we were on the island of Naxos, and we actually saw two rock columns. So one of the pieces here is called Travels to Hania, and it is based on those two columns. And the first one we actually made had a funny name. It was called Three Sheets to the Wind, because obviously my daughter and I were drinking champagne.
I'm drinking champagne and feeling no pain till early morning.
The music from this piece reflects Gino's work in one way or another. The Longsharp Gallery always creates a custom playlist of songs that play during the artist's opening reception. So, did you recognize Twisted, Untie the Knot, Crusher, and of course, Drinking Champagne, Feeling No Pain? I think it's safe to say that we can shake off the winter blahs, but it might be a good time to get the spring blues, perhaps. He's snickering in the background.
Wow.
It's Matthew Sosi. It's time for our chat with Matt. We either talk about film or music, and we're going to talk about music today because, boy, there's some sensational music coming to town.
There is. Indy has a great music scene. Indy has a really good indie music venue scene as well. And a couple of my hangouts, the Slippery Noodle, of course, and the Jazz Kitchen, have some acts coming through town. I know some people think that Indianapolis is not the biggest concert spot in the world. Now, I tend to be more clubs than arenas and stadiums, but there's some really cool acts that are going to be coming through Indiana that are definitely worth checking out. And it's a really cool variety. It's not cover bands. It's not tribute bands. It's not a bar band. Nothing wrong with those.
No.
But we have some original musicians
coming through. Playing music that really is appealing to everybody. I think sometimes people think, oh, I don't like the jazz or blues, but that's incorporated into every music that you hear, whether it's pop or hip hop or anything like
Absolutely.
that.
Absolutely.
So who are we going to hear?
Okay. Coming to the Slippery Noodle on Thursday, May 17th, is a really cool horn band out of Cleveland called Blue Lunch. Now, we know in a lot of certain, in particular genres, it's a guitar-driven world, and in this case, yeah, there is one, but there's also a horn section, and normally horns mean extra musicians, which means either the pay's got to be bigger or the cuts are going to be smaller. But these are a fun group of guys. They come to the Noodle probably once a year, and it kind of gives you flashbacks of swing and some big band stuff from the 40s and 50s. But they're a small group, but they're very powerful with their brass. And
well, that's a great venue for that, too.
Absolutely. So anyway, they're going to be there on May 17th. May 18th and 19th is the soul blues great Johnny Rawls, who's born, raised, and lives in Purvis, Mississippi.
Filled with hate, filled with rage.
Oh, my heavens.
Yes, and Johnny is one of these guys. He's equally strong as a vocalist as well as a guitar player.
Lock him away. Lock him up tight. Lock him away. Keep him out of sight. Lock him away and throw away the key. When he get out, what will he be?
Yes, he plays down in the Chitlin' circuit down south, but he is making his rounds in the north, and we will be all the better for it with him coming to town on the Friday the 18th and Saturday the 19th. And there's a second stage, of course, at the Noodle. Friday is Dave Musket, who's a local guy, and then Saturday, May 19th, is Don Stuck, a radio guy and band member in his own right here in Indiana.
Do the audience have an opportunity to kind of chat back and forth with the performers, too?
They do during breaks. And that's the other thing, maybe because I like clubs, is that, you know, it's hard to get in contact with the musicians at an arena, at a stadium. But, you know, you can go up and talk to these guys during the break. Don't ask dumb questions. Buy their merchandise. But, yeah, I mean, you can get up real close and personal. And I've known Johnny and the Blue Lunch guys for years. And it's a fun show. And then also, when one band is on break, of course, you can go over to the other stage at the Noodle and see the other band performing. So it's good timing. It's a full evening of music.
It is. And the Jazz Kitchen, of course, they've always got terrific acts performing there.
Absolutely. Friday, May 18th, and I'm emceeing this event. So don't come for me, come for the band. But the great Cajun group, Boussole avec Michael Doucet. One of the all-time great Cajun groups. They are ambassadors of Louisiana music. And yes, I have a blues show. I love Cajun. I love Zydeco. I love the musical gumbo that is music from the great state of Louisiana. And they've played here a couple of times. And the fact that you get a really piece of Americana in an intimate place like the Jazz Kitchen, that's going to be
I'm fairly certain they've been featured on some other NPR shows as well, too. So I think some of our listeners may be remember them, too.
Correct, yeah. Correct. So you get, again, there's another opportunity to see
these
guys.
See them in person.
Up close, really close.
Exciting.
Intimate, I guess is the way of putting it. And also at the Jazz Kitchen on Saturday the 19th, you have Cheryl Hayes with the Steve Ali Trio. We all know Steve.
He's tremendous.
And then Sunday, May 20th, if you are a fan of the American Pianists Association and their Jazz Fellowship, Emmett Cohen's going to be back in town with his trio. Cajun music, great vocalist with a piano player, and another great piano player all one weekend at the Jazz Kitchen, dinner and a show all lined up.
All right, we're set. We know where we're going to be. We know where you're going to be.
Yeah, you will.
Thank you, Matthew.
Thank you.
Still to come on Curious Mix, meet Bob the Builder.
I said, Mr. Mayor, we are at a crossroads right now. If you want it to go to the next level, we got to make some changes.
And Pavel, the pianist.
Every title in this album is something that has to do, for the most part, with an everyday living, somebody that is making it day to day.
I'm Jill Dittmeyer, and you're listening to Curious Mix. Our weekly segment, Making It, features an Indiana DIY, or do-it-yourself artist. This week, WFYI's Melissa Davis takes us to the Lang Lab in South Bend, where singer-songwriter Co is its first artist in residence.
Okay, I will play one of the first songs I ever wrote. Well, that's a lie. This was probably my freshman year of high school when I wrote this. So I was still very young, but... There's a certain time of year where flowers bloom in people's hair. The sun's a-shining all big with rays. I spot you there, I'm in a daze. So I'm looking for love. You can take me under their wings. But yeah, so this is where I record and practice, and I'm just starting to get it all, you know, up and running. So yeah, this is where I store the amps and my guitars and pedals and all that kind of stuff. So yeah, it's a very chill atmosphere, and don't mind the box of beer.
just testing a bunch of stuff. The lighting show on later.
Oh, nice.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, for a show later.
Today or?
Yeah, but it's not here.
Walking through the dark. This is the gallery area, but this is also where we have a opera. They perform here quite a bit, and they're like a DIY opera. So they usually do their own sets and all that good stuff. So this is where they'll come and practice. My preferred medium would definitely be music and recording and, like, yeah, performing live. Like, I love all those three things. It all depends on where I'm at, I think, in life and the flow of things as well. So, yeah. Well, South Bend is interesting because I'm still getting to know what it is. To me, this is kind of like my time to relax, and I'm not in a huge city where I'm easily disturbed by, like, going out with friends and going to bars constantly. I feel like in Chicago that was kind of my lifestyle. Like, I was just constantly always out. South Bend is such a slower pace where I'm just able to, you know, hunker down and focus and focus on my art and get down to recording, because I'm overdue for a new record. I was in Beijing, China for a year and a half, and I came home for Christmas, and I was going to go back. I was going to bring my dog. I was going to go back for like 3 or 4 more years because I loved it. But as soon as I got on that plane on American Airlines and I was amongst American flight attendants, I was like, it just hit me. Whoa, I miss America. And as soon as I got home and visited family, I was like, yeah, I need to move back. And I just felt it. But then I remembered, like, 5 or 6 years ago, Sloth Pop on tour played here at Lang Lab. And I just remember the feel of this place and how cool it was. And it was just so magical. Like, it just had a really neat feeling. So I emailed Lang Lab and I was like, hey, I would love to do an artist in residency if you ever do that. And Stephanie was like, we've never done that, but we want you. And so I ended up being the first artist in residency here. Oh yeah, this song is dedicated to Stephanie for inviting me into your awesome home here. I don't know what I would have done to just move here and not know anybody, like, musically and, you know, artistically. So this is for you, Stephanie. Dun, 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 dun.
I think there are people who are born in this world that they can't do anything else but that. Like, they were just, like, from the time they were in the womb, they had to be an artist, and they wouldn't be happy without doing that, and that's who I am. If I'm not doing music or art, I become extremely depressed, and I realize that, you know, it kind of saves me. I think I'm just going to do it for the rest of my life, because I don't think I could do anything else better than that. So...
In the moon is the only light you'll see.
says the doors to the Lang Lab are always open.
If anyone's ever up north, like, you can always come to the Lang Lab, and I'd love to give you a tour. Like, anyone, seriously, it's always open. So that's what's really cool about this space.
That's Making It, reported and produced by Melissa Davis. How can a poem inspire a visual artist? Like this. Here's Curious Mix contributor Terry Border.
This poem is by Jericho Brown. It's called Odd Jobs. I spent what light Saturday sent sweating, and learned to cuss cutting grass for women, kind enough to say they couldn't tell the damn difference between their mowed lawns and their vacuumed carpets, just before handing over a $5 bill rolled tighter than a joint, and asking me in to change a few light bulbs. I called those women old because they wouldn't move out of a chair without my help, or walk without a hand at the base of their backs. I called them old, and they must have been. They're all dead now, dead and in the earth I once tended. The loneliest people have the earth to love, and not one friend their own age, only mothers to baby them, and big sisters to boss them around. Women they want to please and pray for the chance to say please to. I don't do that kind of work anymore. My job is to look at the childhood I hated and say I once had something to do with my hands.
There's a lot of powerful images in that poem.
There is a lot going on. And, I had to read this a couple times before I kind of soaked it all in. But it reminds me when I was little and did odd jobs for the neighborhood, older people, and kind of how I saw them as kind of just kindly, wrinkly old people. And now as they get older, it's funny how the perspective has changed and how I have more in common with those wrinkly old people than the little people running around the neighborhood.
That's Terry Border. He'll be back again next week with another poem for the working man and woman. The Nickel Plate Arts District in downtown Fishers is upping its outdoor concert game by making some major improvements to its downtown amphitheater. Bob McCutcheon is the events coordinator for Fishers Parks and Recreation. He spent decades booking national acts like the Rolling Stones and Queen when he worked for Sunshine Promotions and owned a local club called the Ritz. He's been scheduling entertainment for the Fishers Amphitheater since it first opened. And he says the new improvements will make the stage as inviting and competitive as the lawn in White River State Park in downtown Indy. Curious Mix contributor Bob Williams stopped by the construction site for an update.
Last year, our attendance for all events at the amphitheater was 167,500 people came here for something. That could have been to see the eclipse. That could have been the farmer's market. It could have been to see Loverboy. It could have been to see Smash Mouth. Could have been to see The Do. It could have been to see any one of 40 some shows I put on here last summer. With those kind of numbers, we were kind of at a crossroads, and I went in and talked to Scott Pavlis. The mayor. I'm sorry, Mr. Mayor. I went in to talk to him. I said, Mr. Mayor, we are at a crossroads right now. If you want it to go to the next level, we got to make some changes. We've got to have a stage that I can do larger shows on. We've got to be able to have a sound system that I can make everybody hear when they want to hear. And Scott and back then the Oscar, who was the city controller, Oscar put together a bond issue and Scott signed off on it, and they raised $7 million to do all this renovation. Now there's two sides of this. There's the side we're doing down by the amphitheater, which is the stage, the new roof, the steel going up, and all of those things. And then at the other end, you'll see a new building called the Cube. And the Cube will be a facility that will be able to be rented out for meetings, parties. Up to this point in time, we've only had a level playing field. So, you know.
And people brought their own chairs.
Well, they'll still continue to bring their own chairs and blankets. We're not going to put in any permanent seating. But that it will, the seating visibility that you had will be better than the seating visibility you used to have.
The Jazz Kitchen at the corner of 54th and College hosts professional musicians from around the world. But recently, it opened its stage to a group of very talented amateurs. Curious Mix contributor Mark Allen was there.
About 6 or 7 years ago, local cabaret singer Gail Payne decided she wanted to do more solo performances. But she didn't have a venue, so she decided to make one. She calls what she's doing the Playground Open Mic. The idea is to give people, just regular people who have other jobs, a chance to perform in an intimate, low-key atmosphere.
I know so many people who have full-time active careers, but they're incredible artists on the side in many other ways. And so I just thought it would be nice to pull those people together, hopefully, or encourage them to share their talent.
Payne got the ball rolling with a couple of numbers about Paris, accompanied by pianist David Duncan. When she finished, she opened the mic for anyone who wanted a chance, and the room took on a living room feel. Noel Outland was the first one up. Outland introduced himself as a musical theater guy who left the stage when his son was born so he could be a stay-at-home dad. His son's 16 now, and it's time for dad to sing.
Well, I sing at my church with Ann Carson, who's good friends with the lady who's running this, Ms. Payne. And so she asked me to come down to join in and sing to make sure we had some more singers down here and have a lot of fun. Yeah. And it is.
Over 90 minutes, a half dozen or so folks took turns at the mic. There were parody songs.
I'm super callous, narcissistic, loud and braggadocious. Even though I'm president, my manners are atrocious. That's the way I've always been. I'm cocky and precocious.
Broadway, and more. When Ann Carson got up to sing, it was her first time singing solo in at least 6 years.
I'm a new mom, and I'm expecting another kiddo, and my daughter loves to hear me sing, so I would love to sing more.
She sang a couple of songs, including this one from the current smash Broadway show Dear Evan Hansen. When the whole night was over, everyone was smiling, especially Gail Payne.
Yeah, it was great. It was exactly what I was hoping, and that's not bad for the first one. And, I mean, I hope that you saw, as I did, gosh, just incredible talent.
For Curious Mix, I'm Mark Allen.
Playground Open Mic Night takes place the last Monday of the month at various venues around Indianapolis. One of our regular contributors is Kyle Long, host of Cultural Manifesto. He recently spoke with Indianapolis-based Latin jazz piano player Pavel about his latest album. It's appropriately named Rush Hour because it reflects the musician's life both on stage and off.
I'm Kyle Long from Cultural Manifesto. I'm here today with Pavel of Pavel and Direct Contact, a brilliant Latin jazz pianist living here in Indianapolis. Pavel, how are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm excellent. Thank you. And today we're going to talk about your new record, Rush Hour, which just came out last December, I believe.
Yep.
And congrats on this record. I told you, I think this really captures the energy and excitement and sound of your live performances in a really powerful way.
Oh, thank you.
And that's not an easy thing to do because you exude a lot of energy on stage, right?
Yeah. Just a little bit.
Yeah, you're known for jumping out of your seat and attacking the piano and in a very physical way.
Yep.
Let's listen first to the title track off the record, Rush Hour. Anything you want to say about this piece?
Rush Hour, I mean, it's just it's like our everyday living, right? Every title in this album is something that has to do, for the most part, with an everyday living, somebody that is making it day to day.
And you are in a rush all the time, right? You live in Indy,
yeah.
And you play gigs here all the time. Then you commute up to Richmond, where you teach at Earlham College, jazz.
Yeah. That's right. And then I come back, and then I fly and go somewhere else. And Yeah.
So Rush Hour, that's the story of your life.
Yeah. It's always Rush Hour for me.
Unique aspect of the sound on this record is the inclusion of vibraphones. Tell me about the musician playing vibes on this record.
Yeah, Pedro Fernandez. Yeah, he's one of the percussionists from the Indianapolis Symphony Orchestra from Panama. Fantastic player. He understands the music. He plays it in, it's another percussion element to it. You know, they go hand in hand with what we do.
Pavel, the second song we're going to listen to, I love Brazilian music, right? Mm-hmm. And you have a samba, a very beautiful, kind of nice samba, samba.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Tell me about this track.
That's written by my bass player, Steve Dawkins.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's just, a nice chill tune that brings a lot of colors in music. That's how I see it.
And the next song I want to play was also written by your bass player, Steve Dawkins, a song, Titara.
Yeah.
And we should say that Steve is a very accomplished musician.
Yep.
He spent time in the big band of Henry Mancini, the great film composer. Tell me about working with Steve.
He liked Dominican beans.
Really?
He does. To make every time he comes over. Yeah.
Tell me about Steve as a musician.
Oh, as a musician? Okay. Well, he's a monster on the bass. He understands the bass. He plays it. And he brings everything out of the bass. Even the sounds that are not there.
Next track we're going to hear off your new album Rush Hour is Como. Tell me about this piece.
Yeah, I wrote the piece. It's just something to connect with the audience a little more. We wanted to bring the güiro alive, and just the in a conversation between the bass and the piano when we came to the solo section.
Last last song we're going to listen to our Fresh Hour is Running Out of Time. Again,
another life situation.
Yeah, these songs, the titles are autobiographical, right? And you're constantly, as you said, shooting all over the state and world, playing gigs, teaching. So, yeah, this song captures kind of the energy of your life, huh?
Yeah. That's a great way to put it.
And Pavel, Rush Hour is available on iTunes, Amazon, and you can listen to it on Spotify as well.
Yeah.
Anything you want to tell folks about this record or upcoming plans?
Well, I mean, we got it not too long ago. The sales has been really good. Thanks to Airborne Recording Studios for being behind this 100%. We are coming, we're coming with another new record in May.
Yeah, and Pavel, people can learn more about your music online at pavelmusic.com. You also are on Twitter and Instagram. Do you want to let folks know how they can
look
you
Twitter,
up?
Yeah, Twitter, can connect with me through Twitter. It's at Pavel Latin Jazz. Instagram is Pavel_PolancoSafadit.
Great. Thank you so much, Pavel, and congrats on this excellent record.
Thanks, Kyle.
Each week, Kyle explores the history, harmony, and humanity of Indiana music on Cultural Manifesto. Listen live online or at 90.1 Wednesday nights at 8 and Saturday nights at 10. Just ahead on Curious Mix, pull up a cup and sip for a while.
When we have lunch time, break times, we drink coffee.
And meet the man behind our music.
It's like there's a radio in my head. It's playing all the time, and I'm like constantly trying to catch things that are playing on this radio and capture them.
I'm Jill Dittmeyer, and you're listening to Curious Mix. If you're looking to perk up your palate, you might appreciate some help from Yelp, the online community where ordinary eaters recommend the tastiest places in town. Yelpers love ethnic eats, including the elaborate coffee ceremony at Ethiopian restaurant Abyssinia, which starts with roasting beans and ends with burning incense.
My name is Abraham Belacho. I'm the owner of Abyssinia Ethiopian restaurant. It came from Ethiopia. This coffee is Yirga Jofe. We roasted. After roasted, just crumble and put it in a pan. It will be done now. I will show you how we burn the incense. I have incense here. With incense. I put it in fire. When we have lunch time, break times, we drink coffee. After that, we drink that coffee, we drink three times.
Abyssinia is located at 5352 West 38th Street in Indianapolis. Gaza is a Palestinian territory that is 27 miles long and 6 miles wide. Currently, the area is enduring a blockade on all of its sides, including the Mediterranean Sea. The American Friends Service Committee works for peace and social justice around the world through education. And one of their events, called Hearing in the Heartland, gave local listeners the chance to hear expert testimonies from people who shared the history, politics, and arts of the Gaza Territory. After the panel, all were invited to the Madam Walker Theater to celebrate and share Palestinian culture and cuisine. Curious Mix contributor Emily Matheny was there.
My name is Erin Polly. I'm the program coordinator for the American Friends Service Committee in Indiana. We were asked by the United Nations to service the refugee population in Gaza in 1948. Our work here in the United States is to lift up their voices and share their stories and really apply pressure to Congress to change our policy towards Israel and to really foster peace in that region.
I'm Leila El-Haddad. I live in Clarksville, Maryland, and I'm a native of the Gaza Strip. In the context of Gaza, I found that those ordinary things are often tend to manifest in culture. So, for example, just being able to go through the process of preparing a meal for your family, you know, being able to find the specific kinds of, like, vegetables that you need or having enough purchasing power to obtain, you know, a whole chicken rather than a few chicken wings to cook that meal with, and then going through those, you know, steps and then putting that meal together. And if you had a guest, you know, visiting from the outside, even more so, that is a very empowering experience. It sounds ridiculous, but when I was doing the field work for my last book, The Gaza Kitchen, and we visited a women's cooperative and we visited women all over the Gaza Strip, it was so incredibly uplifting for them to be able to do that, to prepare these meals for us, gave them so much joy.
This is an event that's kind of unique to be happening in Indianapolis, and we chose Indiana because this is the heartland of America. So we've invited people from the Indianapolis community. We have educators, doctors, students representing various communities from the Muslim community, from the African American community, Latino community, and we really just want them to hear this testimony and see how it might inform their own lives and their own work that they do with the communities that they serve.
The idea behind the book was to use food as a kind of lens, an alternative lens, to be able to view and understand and relate to Palestinians, specifically in the Gaza Strip, and establish this sort of lasting connection so that while you are preparing a particular stew and then reading about a specific woman who had a connection to that stew or how she learned to make it from her mother, who was from a village that is now depopulated and no longer exists and she doesn't have access to, but cooking that stew, you know, brings back the memory of that place. And then the person cooking it, you know, across the Atlantic here in the United States might then establish that kind of connection to that woman, to that place, and begin to think about Palestinians and the Palestinian situation in the Gaza Strip in a wholly different, relatable human way.
We know that people connect more to other cultures through art and music and food. And so tonight we're having this event, To Gaza with Love, to really celebrate Palestinian culture and to bring Palestinian culture to people in Indiana to see how beautiful the poetry is, how beautiful the dance and the music is, how wonderful the food is, and how we can all connect on a very human level to these things.
Hello, my name is Mehdi Taha. I am affiliated with the Debka Group, Al-Majid Debka Group here in Indianapolis, Indiana. We are a group of IUPUI students that dance a traditional dance. It's a Palestinian type of cultural dance. And what we do is basically everybody gets together in this dance and they hold hands to show the unity of us Palestinians. And while we dance, we basically click with the rhythm of the music and do it all together in a unified motion. Usually we do these cultural dances at weddings and those type of events, but I learned it here at IUPUI from one of my friends. He came from overseas and he taught me it here, and from then on we spread it to all of the other Palestinian students here at IUPUI.
My name is Amir Abusnene. I was born in the U.S., but I am originally from Palestine. I am actually the MC for the event, for the dinner at least. I'll be introducing the debke, the poetry. I'll be reading a piece of poetry myself. Poetry has always been something I'm very interested in. It's just an easier way to bring an outreach to people and bring awareness to people in this generation. In the United States, it's a land of for all. right? It says it in the Pledge of Allegiance, freedom and justice for all. So being born here, people would expect me to just be from here. But like when you bring diversity to an area, it brings a whole different perspective for people to understand. And especially because I come from somewhere else that's actually being attacked, with people who here, sometimes people just don't know. Like you ask them, I'm from Palestine. Oh, where is that?
It's a pretty strong symbol, like, to see all these students, these Palestinians that came from nowhere to this country, United States, and, like, to show the people, hey, this is our tradition, this is all our culture. And it's a really great thing that we are showing these people what freedom means to us.
At this point in the show, we tell you that Brandon Meeks composed and performs our music. He's one of the most generous collaborators in Indianapolis, but he finally found time to release a solo album called Red, Black, Green.
Just over the years, I've kind of really been wrestling with this thing that I call a push toward exceptional conformity, and to me that's where just from childhood you're kind of just funneled into the system where you have to conform and kind of be like everybody else and just kind of keep your head down and just try to make your way by just fitting in and getting a job and doing all those things. The concept is about liberation, and this is about my personal liberation into being an artist. I've been fortunate to be able to be around a lot of great musicians here in the city and do a lot of great work with a lot of great musicians. So when you have the ability to do that, you're always playing with somebody else or working on music that's going to be on somebody else's project. And that's very fun to do. That experience is necessary, but you get to a point where you have to try to do something on your own. So, you know, I've gotten to that point finally. So this is my first album as a solo artist. I have a three-piece hip-hop band that I've been working really hard on for the past five or six years called Native Son. So we're really getting that off the ground. Like, we were in Denver, Colorado last week. We've been in Ohio recently. So we're really starting to move that band around. I play with Rob Dixon, who we call affectionately called the Musical Mayor of Indianapolis. Like, we play every Monday at the Chatterbox. So, you know, he's getting ready to go into the studio. So we're all gearing up and getting tunes together for that. And then just a lot of different freelance work. I do a lot of session work for people all over the world. So, you know, it's a great time just working, you know, meeting different people, working with different people, and just trying different things constantly. I kind of see myself as somebody that's for the people. Like, I really want to see anybody that's in my circle of influence. Like, I want to do things to kind of help that person be inspired or succeed, or maybe if I'm doing something right, they can see what I'm doing and say, hey, how'd you do that? Now I'll just tell you, you know. So I always want to just be some kind of positive light in everything I do. I'm always working on music. Like, it's like there's a radio on my head. It's playing all the time, and I'm like constantly trying to catch things that are playing on this radio and capture them. So there's like, I mean, there's tons of tracks that are like just on my computer right now that are going to be on some project in the future. So.
That was Brandon Meeks, who composed and performs our music. Curious Mix is made possible in part by the Arts Council of Indianapolis. And this curious mix was created by
Terry Border,
Roxana Caldwell,
Melissa Davis,
Sarah Neil Estes,
Bob Williams,
Emily Matheny,
Kyle Long,
Matt Pelser,
Matthew Sosi,
Mark Allen,
and me, Jill Dittmeyer. We'll be back again next week with more Curious Mix.